Good morning, gentlemen. We're continuing our study of Eshet Chayil. I'd like to share with you a pasuk in Mishle. It says Shlomo HaMelech, Birtzot Hashem Darche Ish. When Hashem is pleased with the ways of a man, Gam oyevav yashlim ito. Hashem will be able to make shalom with this person and even with his enemies. Gam oyevav, not only the people that love him, not only his close friends will be peaceful with him, but even his enemies, Hashem will make shalom with them and him. That's the power of Hashem having ratzon, being pleased with somebody. Let's repeat it again. Repeat it. Birtzot Hashem darche ish. If Hashem is happy with a person, if he's pleased with what the person is doing, even his enemies will make peace with him. Very nice. Comes the Midrash and says, who are these enemies? Oyevav, says the Midrash, his enemies, Zo Ishto. Who would have imagined? One more time. The Midrash says, to explain in more detail what this pasuk is referring to, we would have thought Oyevav are enemies of the Jewish people. We have all kinds of enemies out there as a nation, maybe as individuals, maybe the next door neighbor who's calling the building department on you. All kinds of enemies that we have. Maybe your competitor. Shockingly comes the Midrash and says, bring it close to home. Oyevav, your enemy, Zo Ishto, is your wife. And now the pasuk reads very nicely, Birtzot Hashem Darche Ish. Says Ish, the man, when Hashem is happy with a man, Gam Oyevav, also his wife, even his wife, Yashlim Ito, he will be able to bring her to be Beshalom with him. Of course, when you see this Midrash, you're shocked, number one. After you're shocked, you remind yourself that this is the words of the Torah Sheba'al Peh, the oral Torah that we got by Har Sinai, which helps us understand what the Torah is. These are the holy Hachamim that help us see life through the lens of Torah. So you have to take a few moments and you have to give it a little bit of a chance to settle in, to understand what they're trying to tell you. They're saying something here. This is not just a nice comment to make a joke to get people to laugh. Shlomo HaMelech is saying something. Let me share with you a midrash that is hard to understand when you read it. Midrash says that when Hashem created the world, He created it with letters. Every day, three letters were used. The first letter Hashem chose is Bet. As we see, Bereshit. That was the first letter. The Midrash says that the Aleph was slighted. After all, it's the first letter. Why would Hashem start with Bet and ignore the Aleph? So the Midrash says that the Aleph came to complain that it should have been the first letter. So the Midrash says that Hashem comforted the Aleph and told her that even though you weren't the first to be by the creation, but when I give the Torah on Har Sinai, you will be the first. I'm going to start with an Aleph. So you didn't make the cut by the creation, but by Matan Torah, you're going to go first. As the Pasuk says, the first words out of Hashem's mouth for Har Sinai were, Anochi Hashem Elokecha. I am Hashem, your God. Anochi begins with an Aleph. Hashem says, you're going to have the honor by Matan Torah. Over there, the Aleph will be the first. That's what the Midrash says. Obviously, you read this Midrash, you say, what is going on? Why is the Aleph talking? What is this discussion all about? Let me share with you a beautiful explanation of this cryptic Midrash. When Hashem created the world, the Aleph, which represents the number one. As we know, the Hebrew letters, each one correspond to a number. Aleph is one, Bet is two. The Aleph was disappointed that Hashem made the world with Bet. Bet is two. We know Hazal tell us that no one person is created the same. They don't look the same. They don't talk the same. They don't think the same. Nobody is the same. Not one person from Adam Arishon till today. That's what the letter Bet represents. Bet represents diversity. Two. Different. Of course, a man, his wife, different. When people are different, that is the ultimate cause of conflict. If we would be the same in the way we think, in what we like, in what we want, if we would be in line with everything, then there would never be conflict. What is it that causes conflict? Diversity. Because I think A and you think B, so that becomes a stage for a possible conflict. If me and you always thought the same and did the same and acted the same, no problem. So the Aleph was disappointed. It was looking forward to a world where everyone would be one. Everyone would be exactly the same. And it would be a world of shalom. When the world was created with the Bet, with diversity. So the Aleph was very disappointed in a world that would ultimately be in danger of conflict and all kinds of issues that humanity has in reality suffered for thousands of years. How many people have died in wars in the last 5,700 years? Conflict. How many families broken? How many partnerships that were gone sour? Think about all the different conflicts that exist in the world. From the friendships to the cities, to the countries, to politicians, to every area of life. You just hear about conflict. The Aleph was very disappointed in the creation of a world of a bet of people that are different, that would bring about tragic results. That's the complaint of the Aleph. Why'd you start with bet? Why is the nature of the world diversity? That's what it means, Hashem started with a bet. The nature of the world is not one. The nature of the world is that whoever you see is going to be a bet. Whoever you look at is going to be somebody else. Something else. Walk the streets, everyone that you see, bet. You're never going to find an Aleph. You're never going to look and see a guy like you. Ever. And the biggest bet is your wife. Women and men are from a different planet. It's tremendous diversity in this world. That's what a bet represented. The Aleph says, why would you make the nature of the world diverse, which is going to bring unfortunate tragedies and conflict, and like we've seen over the span of the world's existence. If you just did Aleph, if the nature of the world would be all the same, no wars, no conflict, families would be together, businesses would be together. Beautiful. That's what I represent as the Aleph. Hashem says to the Aleph, to comfort the Aleph, when I give the Torah, I'm going to start with the Aleph. What's significant about that? It means that just like the nature of the world is diversity, and everyone you look at is a bet, vis-a-vis yourself, another bet, another bet, another bet. In fact, the word bayit is bet. A bayit can't be made up of aleves. You live by yourself, you don't have a bayit. A bayit, by definition, is a place where you find diversity, more than one. Hashem says to the Aleph, I did better than you wanted. You wanted a world where everyone would be the same, and therefore there would be shalom, there would be unity. What a beautiful concept, what a beautiful dream that you had, the Aleph. Hazanku Baruch. But I have a greater dream. That shalom and unity with people is such a great accomplishment that I wouldn't want to take that away from my creations. I wouldn't want to be the one that puts them together like a robot, like a computer. I want to give them the accomplishment. Surely if I made them all the same, they would get along. But then the shalom accomplishment would be mine, not theirs. They would have nothing to be different about or fight about. Shalom is such a great part of the purpose of life that I would never want to take away from them the opportunity to bring it to their own life. I want shalom to be free choice so that each one could say, I accomplished in the world of shalom. If I made them all Alephs, it would be shalom, but it would be my accomplishment. What would they have earned? What would they have done? What would they have accomplished? I created them to accomplish, to become something. So therefore, says the Creator, I did better than you. You want them to be Alephs automatically. But that's not called Tov. That's not called creating something good. That would be my good, not their good. I want them to be Tov. I want them to be godly. Sure, I can make Shalom, but I want them to make Shalom. So that's why I created a world of bets. Wherever you go, you see a bet. You see someone else. Something else. I did that on purpose. You think I forgot about the Aleph? But the good news, here's the good news. Because you're probably thinking, Aleph, how is this going to work? You're going to put a bet in a house, two people. How in the world are they going to make it? Hashem says, here's the good news. When I'm going to give the Torah and Har Sinai, I'm going to start with an Aleph. Because the nature of the Torah, just like the nature of the world, is the nature of Bet. The nature of the Torah is the Aleph. The nature of the Torah is that it could take two people that are not the same and make them one. And make them together, united, shalom. With the Torah, the bet can become an aleph. And that would be their choice and their accomplishment and their greatness. Why would I take that away from them? Hashem could have made us also have patience from day one. Be selfless from day one. Hashem could have made us perfect from day one. Is Hashem any less capable than Microsoft or Apple? They make every computer the same, every phone the same. You don't think Hashem could make everyone the same? Same package, the same inside, the same outside. Hashem doesn't know how to manufacture. The opposite, to manufacture each computer different, that's a chokmah. Could you imagine that Microsoft makes billions of computers and not one is the same? And they're all using the same chips and they're using the same formula, but not one is the same. That's a chokmah. Hashem went out of his way to make bets. The production line would logically say make Alephs. You're running a factory, just make the same ones. You got to think about each one. What should I do? The endless design of a person's face and a person's makeup. Hashem went out of his way to make bets just so that we can become our own accomplished people. Which means that the shalom in a person's life is an opportunity, a mission that Hashem gave us. This is the conversation with the Aleph and the Bet. But the most important part of this conversation in reality, in practicality, is that without the Torah, achieving shalom is of very little hope. The Torah and its wisdom, the Torah and its holiness, the Torah and its mitzvot has a way of bringing people together. Now, surely you might point to some people that you'll say, they learn Torah. I saw them, they go to shul on Shabbat. And I see they have all kinds of conflicts. I know people that learn. I know people that do mitzvot and they're fighting with their wife, they're fighting with their sister, they're fighting with their mother, they're fighting with their neighbor. So I told you many times, and I'll repeat it again, do not learn Judaism from the Jews. That is one of the biggest mistakes that has been detrimental to many people's lives. Do not learn Judaism from the Jews, even the religious ones. You got to be very careful who you use as your guide to Judaism. Because the reality is that although, Baruch Hashem, we have many good Jews that do many good things, but it doesn't mean they do it all right. They may do five things right and five things wrong. And even the five they do right, who knows if they do it fully right. You're going to go tell me, oh yeah, I know that guy. He does this, he does this. Walks around with a kippah. I saw him yelling at a guy with his kippah. Be very, very careful who you look at as the example of godliness in this world. But the essence of Torah is that it creates unity between two people. There's no greater example that I could give you. It's very real and very lemaaseh. When you learn together with somebody, a havruta, when you learn together with somebody, it creates this beautiful connection of ahdut, of unity. It brings the souls together. You feel it. There's no greater friendships than the friendships that are developed through the glue of Torah. It's a fact. There are many things in life that can bring people together. They can play together on the same team. They could go together in the car to work. They can develop product together. There are many things that we could do together. And surely any item that is shared by two or more people can bring them together. But there's no glue, there's no connection like there is of a person who shares Torah and learns Torah and has a haver, has a friend that he goes on a spiritual mission with, growing together. it brings them to become one. That is the unique opportunity that every single one of us has and must realize. That the Torah that we learn and the connection that we have to our Torah through learning, through mitzvot, is not only a beautiful accomplishment that brings us close to Hashem, but actually brings us close to each other. That's a chidush. That's what the pasuk says. Now we understand the pasuk in Mishle much better. Birtzot Hashem darchei ish. When Hashem is pleased with the ways of a man, he sees, what is Hashem pleased? He's pleased when he sees we're doing good things. He's so happy for us, not from us, for us. Loves it, sees the guy learning. Yes, good. Spending his time doing good things. He sees the guy waking up in the morning to learn. He sees him going to work, come back at night, goes back to learn. Ah, beautiful, what a guy. Sees him making berachot. Beautiful, gorgeous. He sees him being medagdek in mitzvot. I have to buy the matzah, make sure it's a good one. To make sure I have the right clothing, I have to make sure that I'm doing the right Shabbat's coming. Preparing for Shabbat. Shabbat table, Friday night. Ah, Hashem said, I'm so happy. I'm so pleased with you. When is a parent pleased with his children? Not when they buy him a gift. It's a nice thing. That's not when they're pleased with them. They're pleased with them when they see them successful. When they see them being special, beautiful people. Hashem looks at our Friday night table and says, wow, so beautiful. What a table. What a kiddush. What a song. What conversations here. Look at the way they dress. Look at the way they talk to each other. Look at the beracha this father is giving to his son and to his daughter. Look at the respect of the children to their parents. So pleasing, so beautiful. Hashem sees a person praying. Wow, what a beautiful tefillah. What a sincere person. Look at that check he's writing. Look how much he cares about people. When Hashem is pleased, meaning he sees the person committed to Torah and mitzvot, to spiritual growth, gam oyevav yashlim ito. Hashem will bring, what does it mean, Hashem will bring? It means the Torah. Hashem and Torah is the same. The Torah, which represents Hashem, makes shalom between him and his enemies. And the Midrash says the enemies are his wife, number one. Why is she his enemy? Because she's different. She's more different than his friends are. She's different than his partners are. That's why she's called an oyev. Because she's really different. Difference makes people go further apart from each other. The more alike, the more they're together. When you choose a roommate, when you go to yeshiva, you choose someone who's more like you. Someone who likes to sleep late if you sleep late, or sleep early if you sleep early. Someone who likes it hot, because you like it hot, or likes it cold, because you like it. He likes to hear calm music, that's what you like too. When you choose a roommates for yeshiva, usually you look for people who are like you, because when they're like you, it's easier to get along with them. The more the difference, the more the challenge. So who is the biggest challenge? A woman. A man and a woman, very different. That's why she's called an oyeb. Doesn't mean, God forbid, that she hates his husband. It means that by her nature and his nature, they're far apart. And this marriage is made to be broken. Because such differences in people don't make sense that they can come together. So anyone who's shocked when marriages aren't working out is in dream world. He's listening to too many folk tales. Marriages are made to be broken. That is the norm. That's what should be the rule. For a marriage to exist, and to exist happily and successfully, is a nes nisim. The miracle of miracles. That's why Hazal tell us in their own beautiful words. Kashe zivugan kekeriat yamsuf. That having a couple together, happily working together in a home, is as difficult as the splitting of the sea. Now, of course, splitting of the sea is not difficult for Hashem. But when we think about the splitting of the sea, we see it as a very, very difficult thing to happen. We don't imagine it happening today. We don't imagine it happening tomorrow. It happened once. It's a miracle that's not going to happen in our time. That's how we see it. It's out of nature. It's not the norm. Azala telling you, putting people together and they should stay happily married together is not the norm. If you see that, it's an outright miracle. If you see people together and not just married legally, they actually, besimha, they have a united team, all for one, and one for all. If you actually see such a reality, you see such a couple that has such a relationship, consider it a miracle of the splitting of the sea. They're trying to tell you and I that it's not normal that two people who are on such opposite ends should be living as a united team, besimha. Not simha once in a while, that anybody could achieve. But to live a continuous life, daily, hourly, by the minute, day to day, month to month, and it should be such an existence of ahdut and simha, miracle. So the people say, oh, what went wrong? That's not the question, what went wrong. The opposite, you have to ask, what went right? What went wrong, that's the formula. The formula is, it's going wrong. People are shocked, I don't understand what's happening. How come people don't get along? How could it be? Nothing not to understand. That is the norm. You see the Atlantic Ocean? Does it look split to you? Is that normal? Oh, so norm is that men and women should not get along. A home should not be built with ahdut and shalom. That's the norm. We have it all backwards. People watching too many movies. They have it all backwards. They think men and women are supposed to be perfect for each other. And then things go wrong. Come the Torah, come Shlomo HaMelech in his beautiful words and sets it straight. You're getting married to an oyev. Good luck. Tell a guy Mabruk at his wedding. Getting married to the enemy, Hazak Baruch. You found one of the enemies. Beautiful. That's Laha. That's what's happening here. Not such a beautiful way of describing a bayit, but a real way, which gives tremendous clarity. That's the story with the bet, the bayit, and the aleph. The beautiful opportunity that these enemies have to make a great home is going to come from the aleph, from the Torah. There's no greater wish a woman should have than that her husband is learning in the morning, at night, is connected to Torah. There's no greater wish a woman should have than a husband who's connected to Shabbat in the right way. Observance of his mitzvot. There's no greater gift that a woman can get in her life. No gold, no diamond, no pearl, no trip, no home, no car. There's no greater gift that a woman can have in her life is a husband who is connected to Torah. Now, unfortunately, many women don't know that. They just don't know it. They're imagining that their home is going to be built with money and glamour and trips and clothing and kavod. Can't blame them. Not everybody's listening to Shlomo HaMelech. Not everyone knows what's the reality. We live in a world that's very dark. In darkness, people don't see. They look for one thing, but they're going to look for it in a different place. Which woman doesn't want a home of ahdut, a home of shalom? That's everyone's wish. But it's in a dark world. You look for it in the wrong places. What a gift. Sometimes you have a woman that her husband wants to go to learn, and it's hard for her. She's not used to it. And sometimes she resists. She doesn't even realize. I don't blame her. From her world, doesn't understand. He's trying to upgrade himself. It makes her uncomfortable. It's not what she's used to. Again, I don't blame her. She's not used to it. Doesn't understand it. But if we looked with the proper lens, she is pushing away the very thing that's going to make her successful and happy. She's dreaming of shalom and pushing away shalom at the same time. The Eshet Hayil, this great woman, is the woman who understands this principle that we're learning today. That's why the Gemara says the great woman send out their husband to learn. Not only for him to learn, it's her accomplishment. Not only because she's helping him, but she's helping herself. A husband who comes home at night after work is not an easy person. He goes to the Beit Midrash and comes home. It's a different human being. One night after another, the greatest investment in Shalom Bayit is to be connected to learning. Every woman needs to know that. They have to be smarter than the men. Men are busy, they're working, they're doing. But the woman whose name is the Bayit, she's the Bayit. Ishti Zobeti. She has to know this Bayit, this Bet. It's never going to come together the way it's supposed to. If your husband is not connected to Ritzon Hashem, Imagine the beautiful words of Shlomo HaMelech. Who could have written such words? Birtzot Hashem darchei ish. You're doing Ritzon Hashem. You're looking to do God's will. You take His Torah and you make it connected and make it yours and you keep pushing forward. You're not just serving God. You're not just doing good for yourself in the next world. You're saving your marriage. You're bringing shalom into your home. And all the great things that come out of shalom. That's why Hazal tell us, Talmidei Hachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. People who are learning wisdom, scholars, Talmidei Hachamim, they bring more shalom into the world. What does that mean? They're standing outside giving out shalom cards. What are they doing? They're going out to make peace between people fighting. Is that what it means? Talmidei Hachamim Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. What does that mean? It means the fact that they're able to teach others. That's Marbeh Shalom. They get 10 guys to come at night to learn the shiur. They just added Shalom times 10. But they didn't talk about Shalom. Their wives weren't even here. No. That's the way of Shalom. Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Every shiur a person goes to is Marbeh Shalom. Every upgrade in mitzvot, in tefillot, shalom. It's the wish of every single woman. Sometimes they just don't know it. They don't know exactly how to get their wish, which is very normal in life for them. People have many good wishes but don't know how to get it. There's a famous story, but this story could be repeated probably millions of times. Story of a man that came, very wealthy man that came to the Netziv on Balazhin, great rabbi. He came to him and says, Rabbi, I'm having all kinds of issues with my wife. Baruch Hashem, life's great. He says, my business is top. My employees committed. My partner's loyal. I work very hard. But my wife is very difficult. She gives me such pain, such headaches, such heartaches. I don't know what to do. Without her, everything's perfect. So the rabbi asked him, he says, tell me, do you learn every day? Do you learn Torah every day? He said, Rabbi, I didn't come to consult with you for my learning. What do you ask me if I learn every day? What does that do anything? I'm here to tell you that my wife's got a problem. Maybe you'll talk to her. He asked if I learn every day. He told him that all day long you're busy making money, which is very, very important and very nice. But you're neglecting your soul in exchange. And when you neglect your soul, shalom, and your wife, may be very difficult to achieve. Start learning. And all of a sudden you'll see, first of all, when a woman sees a husband learning, she sees a different value. Husband's all day long working, it's very nice. Doesn't show real value of the person. Whole world works. All of a sudden, comes home. He has somewhere to go. He's learning something. He's committed something. Before the God factor, just that alone makes him more reason to honor. Wow, my husband's something. He's home. He's writing notes. He has something else that's important in his life. Something valuable. It earns him respect. It earns him a hashivut, certain value. have to know that. Going to work, coming home doesn't earn a guy great value. Just a way to get money. He becomes a piggy bank. Becomes a cash machine. You don't respect your cash machine. You need it. You enjoy having it. The guy going to work, as good as he is in work, as nice as he is to his customers and to his, but doesn't earn the person kavod in his wife's eyes. She doesn't see what he's doing. It's work. All of a sudden he has values. All of a sudden he has things that he's dedicating his personal life for, things that are important. She sees him, how he's growing. She sees his character. She sees his midot. She sees his... All of a sudden, she has respect for him. Because that's him. Making money is not him. Making money is what Hashem does for him. But now all of a sudden, he's someone to respect. He's got something. He's growing. It's his wisdom, his character, his midot. Besides the God factor, that Hashem steps in and says, let me help you. That's a big secret of the Jewish people. That we understand the great value of shalom, but we also have the proper channel and how to achieve it. The bet, the bayit, is diverse, and it was done purposely that way, so that we can, with the help of the Aleph, with the help of the Torah that Hashem gave us, to turn our home into one united family, one united group of people that are mashlim, that are there to complete themselves and each other. Have a wonderful day.